He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider for Clutch Points. And joining me today on the show is somebody who isn't normally here on a Monday, Harrison Fagan of SB Nation. Harrison, you and I are about to do some vacationing. We're about to do some traveling. I'm flying back home. I don't even know where you're going. And
that's good. That's deliberate.
You have me like changing my plans and meeting up with you wherever it is you're going?
No, I don't want to. I know that if I tell you anything, you will just say it out loud on the show. And so I have to keep that, you know, in the circle of trust.
Everything is content, Harrison. Content is king. But yeah, so we are recording this and we're going a little out of order this week. And the good news is, though, Harrison, you and I have something to talk about.
I don't know why you're taking people behind the curtain and saying we did this as a favor to us. We're doing this as a favor to you. I jumped on because the skinny Luca photos were so pressing that I needed to jump in today. This is an emergency by off-season standards. Emergency pod! Luca lost weight!
I've been laughing at that all day. The amount of debate over whether or not Luca is going to be better off with or without the extra weight that he had last year is the most almost August topic I've ever seen. You know, there's been legit like
this? I was going to bring up this counterpoint as a bit, but I didn't realize people were actually bringing this up.
No, I've had a few like. Well, I don't know if it's sarcasm, but I've gotten enough of them on mine. And then I've seen like some of the takes out there also of like, well, what happens if Luka can't push guys around anymore? You know, he was somebody who really benefited from being able to push guys around. What, like, should Lakers fans be nervous about this? And I'm like, what? Hold on. Huh? which just like goes to show again, everything is content, right? Like everything is a debate.
This is like the my friend Kylie Chung's joke about like for Harden and Luka, the talent being in the fat, you know, it's like they need the extra girth to get guys to bounce off of them and stuff. And it's like, if you lose that, all of a sudden you're losing part of what makes them special. And so, you know, you could say the same thing for Zion. It's like a Zion is lethal, you know, as a bowling ball, if a wrecking ball combination, if, you know, he's not as big. And I think the Pelicans would say, we'd like to see, but you know, they,
do you think Zion's watching this like closely and like hoping that Luka looks worse because he lost the weight?
I mean, now that you mention it, probably.
He's just like, he's just watching the first game. Luka like isn't able to back somebody down. Zion's just going to go to his front office and it's like, see? See?
It's like new message in the chat, but NBA Body Positivity Association from Zion Williamson. What the hell, bro?
I also love that, like, in this theory of yours and Kylie's, that like Samson's special powers comes from cholesterol. it's not. You know, we're nervous about somebody getting better because they're you know, the BP, what was it, BMI is, you know, BMI, dropped to a nervous level. But look at these pictures, Harrison. So like, this is the one that kind of caught my attention is Luke. Like I hated that exercise. It always made my back hurt. This one also not exactly great for the back.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Look at him.
For the audience, people that are not watching on YouTube, this is going to be a funny segment. So we got to really lay out on the audio.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Hey, there's the 42 inch vertical.
Not even a single jiggle in that photo.
By the way, Men's Health had to tweak their article because they utilized AI to tell Luca's story and it spat out a detail that wasn't actually true. I think it was Nick Engstad who caught this, that according to this article, Luca had a 42 inch vertical when he was entering the NBA. And
I'm going to say, if he had a 42 inch vert at the draft combine and he still dropped in the draft, like, you know, I think both the GMs that passed on him have already been fired, but
yeah,
still, you know, they'd be fired again. Fire him again.
Yeah. No. So that it turns out that detail, not true. He did not have a 42 inch vertical.
Which, he will this season though.
Well, yeah, but like the part of it that I kind of like laughed at was he actually was like Adam Modest was on the show and he actually told this version of the story the way that it should have been told in the article. But while Luca doesn't, you know, obviously reach the heights of a 42 inch vertical, he does, or he did in the draft process or as a younger prospect, get off of the floor faster than most, maybe anybody that like they actually calculate how quickly somebody jumps and how quickly somebody gets off of the floor. And Luca is actually like back when he was going through the draft process, the pre-draft process, he actually did really well in that regard.
Yeah, I'm guessing that was at P3. They also, I think it was either him or Harden had the best deceleration speed in like their testing history. And it, like they're like basically one and two. And so it's, you know, that is a skill that if you watch those guys play, you can see where that comes into play in their games. It's like, you know, being able to stop is also a superpower if you can get people off balance a little bit. And you can see how that sort of flows into their games. And, you know, if he can stop at that speed while also moving a little more quickly before going into that stop, you know, you could see how maybe that would benefit his game, even if he's not, you know, jumping 42 inches in the air.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is Chat Missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/RS10.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Or like, you know, when he is stopping, like I actually think, because there's a bunch of theories obviously going around on where this, you know, why the weight loss, you know, I personally, just because I'm petty, would like to thank Nico Harrison personally for not just trading Luka, but also calling him a fat loser on his way out the door. And I would imagine Luka being a competitive guy, you know, that didn't, you know, maybe sit all that well with him. But I also
fitness advice from the Division III men's basketball player on how to be better.
Yeah. A shoe salesman, you know, has thoughts and on what it takes to be successful. And he decided to direct those thoughts in a very public manner to a guy who was just in the NBA finals the year prior. But anyway, I actually think, like, Harrison, do you recall the first time that you noticed that, like the aging process on you, like that, you know, you like tweak something and it took longer than you remember it?
I started to lose my hair.
No, I mean, like, well, cause I still remember, I like tweaked my ankle, didn't sprain it. I've sprained my ankle on a few occasions, but I like tweaked my ankle, and I remember, like, growing up, you tweak your ankle and then you keep on playing on it, and then you wake up and it's a little sore the next day, but like, it's nothing that's actually going to slow you down. And I remember I tweaked my ankle while I was playing, and I kept playing on it. I just tightened my shoes and kept playing on it. And then woke up the next day and was just actually sore. Like, it actually hurt. And I think that first occurred when I was in my, like, I think I was like 26 or 27, you know, mid to late 20s. And I like mentioned that to Dad, and he's like, yeah, you're aging. you're getting older, you know? And I see how quickly, like, my kids bounce back from stuff where if they wake up with a cough and you give them like a little bit of Tylenol, they just become superhuman all over again. And, you know, over the course of your life, right, it just takes longer and longer and longer to recover from stuff. Luka just sustained his first, like, kind of long-term injury this last year. And you talked about the breaking and stuff like that. And when you're bigger and you try to put on those breaks and you're trying to slow that much more mass down, it is going to have an impact on those brake pads. And I think
long term, you know, especially too, maybe not even in the moment, but it's like, or the next day or whatever, but you know, it would be something you would worry about in his knees as he ages.
Yeah. So I honestly think that the impetus for this kind of body transformation, it has a lot to do with the injury that he just sustained, that, like, he went through that and he missed a bunch of time, and then he didn't perform as well as he normally would in the postseason. And I think he's kind of looking at that. And I would imagine somebody around him in his camp, or maybe even it didn't even require it, but he's just kind of like, all right, I'm getting a little older. I only have one prime in my career. I'm approaching it right now. I can't keep fucking around with this stuff. And it would be really interesting. I would love, because I don't think they really touched on too much of, you know, he says that he wants to, you know, be in the game a long time, and he wants to maximize his career and stuff like that. But I would love for him, you know, next, you know, speaking opportunity that he has, to talk about, you know, this process and what went into it, because it would be great if he was just super honest. He's like, yeah, the guy who traded me called me fat. And I was like, I'm not having any more of that.
But I feel like there's no way he would ever be that honest.
Yeah, I know.
Even,
I
mean, if that was the real reason. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, it, but even if it's, yeah, like, I would love to hear about this process of, cause, you know, we just talked the last time that we did the pod, we talked about, like, living in the now and trying to maximize the now. And this is him doing that in the way that he can. And I would love to hear about that. The other thing that I was kind of struck by, I haven't seen anybody make this point, is if you put this much work into your body over the course of an offseason, and then you hear about how the Lakers are like building for a year or two from now, I'd be a little annoyed. You know, hold on, what? We're not going for it until next year. Do you
get the like, thirst trap pictures done now for like, you know, yeah, like for the NBA star Tinder bio for when the Lakers go like star hunting in a trade? You know, yeah, he wants to be looking his best and be able to post the men's health angles like on there at when Giannis is deciding who he wants to team up with long term.
Well, so you don't think this changes anything with how he kind of would maybe want the Lakers to go after it this year or get after it this year?
I'm hesitant to say that just because, I mean, I'm sure he does want them to go for it, but I just, like, you have seen how Rob Pelinka operates. Rob is not doing this plan if he has been in contact with Luka and they're like, if you don't throw everything that you can at the wall to try and win this season, then, you know, we are not going to sign the extension. We're going to leave, whatever. Like, it seems like they're sort of in an agreement that, you know, like, we're going to not slow play this, but we're not going to throw every single thing at the wall for this year. And so that we can take a bigger swing potentially next summer. And, you know, I don't know. Like, it just, to me, I don't think that it changes anything because we had already heard that he was in the best shape of his life. You know, I don't know. Like, do we think Rob was unaware of what he looked like until seeing the men's health cover? And even then he's like, I don't know. Did they Photoshop it? Did they use AI? Like, did they, you know, do some smoothing? Like,
well, I mean it more from the standpoint of like, look, the amount of transformation that we've seen here from Luka, you look at pictures of him, even towards the end of the season when he like, you know, was actually playing and stuff, let alone when he first got to the Lakers and he first got on the court there, he didn't look healthy, you know, in his first couple of games there.
He hadn't been able to run. He'd been rehabbing a calf injury.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, you go from that to this, that takes a ton of work, right?
Yeah.
A lot of work. And you put that much work into it.
Yeah, people joke. They joke about the American cuisine thing. This is not just him not eating American food for a couple months. Like, I'm sure that that helped, yeah, but you know, it's a little more than that.
Yeah. By the way, Guggenheim, bring over whatever European chef, whatever European ingredients that it took to get Luka to this point here, because, and so that we don't need him eating at Arby's, during the season. But yeah, the part of this that like I keep on coming back to is he puts all this work in and his body transforms the way that it does. We know how much work LeBron puts in to, you know, maintain the way that he looks year in, year out. And I think that's part of the frustration that LeBron has had with the Lakers. It's like, I am doing more than my share, yeah, here, holding off Father Time the way that I have. And yet, we just started a playoff series with Jackson Hayes at center last year. So it's like, I do kind of wonder, after Luka puts in this much work to get himself to look the way that he does right now, and then, you know, say at the beginning of the year, because they always do this with the Lakers. They always backlog the Lakers schedule so that they'll have kind of a softer opening. Not so that they have it. They want more eyes on the Lakers playing tougher games later in
the year. The marquee teams are usually the better ones and they want the marquee games after like the NFL season is over.
Right. Right. So, but you know, that would mean that, you know, usually the Lakers have kind of a softer opening than most other teams. And so you might be looking at a Lakers season, Harrison, that starts, you know, 7-3, 8-2. Luka looks incredible. LeBron hopefully continues to look incredible. DeAndre Ayton is in a contract year, so he probably will be on his best behavior early on in the season. And I would imagine that entire
fat.
What's that?
We've seen LeBron, we've seen Luka. You know, what if Austin just shows up fat? You know,
no, he's in a contract year too. but
I
like,
just can't even picture that. Like, imagine out of shape Austin Reeves.
he shows up wearing golf shoes. Like he just like walks straight off of the golf course.
He looks like he has the body type where he struggles to keep weight on more than like keep weight off, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, like I know that like they've been trying to bulk him up, but it's just, you know, kind of difficult for some people to do until it isn't. But yeah, the thing that I keep on, you know, coming back to with this is like, especially now having seen these pictures and like, you don't do an interview with Men's Health unless you put in the work, you know? And so like I would, and this has been in the works for a while.
This is a concerted effort to get counteract the narrative, because I don't know if you caught this, but the Lakers media relations Twitter account that most of us have like alerts on for because they send out like press releases, statements, stuff like that from it. They retweeted the Luka Men's Health article after the Lakers tweeted it out. Like to make, you know, like they're making sure that they did everything but release a statement where Rob talked about how great the photos looked.
Yeah. Jen's trying to find my laptop and I don't know where. I think it's in my backpack. I'll make sure that it's in my backpack.
Trying to find your laptop. I believe you're using it to podcast currently.
No. I have a like a Mac that I.
Oh, okay.
Desktop Mac. But gosh, where? Yeah. I'm going to just hold on. Check my backpack. Yeah. So anyway, sorry. I'm trying to recapture my thought process here. The point that you just made that like, yeah, the Lakers retweeted it. It was funny too, is NBA PR retweeted it. Like they,
oh, that's they, good. I didn't even know that. That's very funny. I didn't catch that one.
So like that was kind of interesting to me, but yeah, I think, you know, Luka looks great. LeBron, he sent out a IG story today saying how he's getting to work and he's getting ready for next year too. Like, I don't know, Harrison, I'm starting to feel a little optimistic about this team. And I know that's a really scary thing for longtime listeners to hear me say. So, you know, knock on wood, hold on to your butts, all that stuff.
Hit by a car or something, you know, it's like every time.
Like, Why shouldn't I be optimistic about a team with LeBron James and Luka Doncic, a contract year DeAndre Ayton, a contract year Austin Reeves, you know, a contract year Rui Hachimura, like you know, they had a solid offseason. Why shouldn't I be optimistic about this team? I keep on hearing about how great the Minnesota Timberwolves are. They had a much worse offseason than the Lakers did. A much worse one.
Well, after shellacking them in the first round, to be fair.
Yeah, but that's true. Yeah. But they got worse.
Yeah.
At a very important position.
Yeah. You know, I certainly don't think that the Timberwolves are unbeatable, or, you know, like I see what you're trying to do though, is that you're trying to get me to be the antagonistic one so that you can be like, look, Lakers fans, I'm positive. I don't know why everybody's mad
at me. I'm not. That's no. Are you also optimistic?
Well, no. And so I I mean, I guess you have to define optimistic. I don't know. Like, I think this team could be, I think this team could win a round or two of the playoffs. Maybe I struggle to see much beyond that. The thing that still has been giving me pause and has been giving me pause all offseason is I'm just not sure that the defense can be good enough. I think such a huge part of that crazy defensive run that they went on last year was like desperation. They had to do it to sort of climb up the standings. They had a goal in mind. You know, it's like, I don't know if you can maintain that full sprint for the entire season. And it was also that they were going small so often, and you're not going to be able to do that with DeAndre Ayton. Like, and you're trying to get him acclimated and get him major minutes. And I'm just not, the defense is the part that still gives me a lot of pause, because I'm worried about how they're going to get enough stops on that end. And if they're just going to be able to straight up outscore teams, like I'm not 100% sure about that. And I think the defense is probably, yeah, I'm not optimistic about how the defense is going to start the year.
I think that's fair. I think here we go. Manny, right, saying I'm a trade away from optimism. I think that's the fairest stance, right? This roster, I think, clearly needs like one or two more moves. Where
I think it needs, like, it doesn't have to be Rui, but it needs like the Rui rotation spot swapped out for a guy who is like a defender.
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about this before we went on the air, and I don't know that I fully believe even myself here, but the Nets have the cap space to be able to just take Dalton. And with all this noise surrounding Nikola Vucevic potentially being waived, not just bought out, but waived outright to where he would get his full contract, you could just sign him for the minimum.
Is Evan Fournier running the Bulls now? I don't why.
Well, all right. Well, we'll get to the why here in a second.
Okay.
But right. Like if you could trade Dalton to the Nets just for a couple of second rounders or something like that, and have him just go into their cap space. Now you get a couple of assets on top of it that you can attach to whatever it is that you want to do later in the season. You know, you could split those assets up if you get two second rounders for him. And on top of it, you'd be able to sign Vucevic on the minimum, which, by the way, like the reason that I would say that, you know, his agent would maybe, by the way, his agent is also Luka's. Reason that the agent might be pushing for, and a lot of these agents are pushing for buyouts now versus in the season, is because more teams can sign that player once the season starts.
Second apron restrictions. Yeah.
Right. Once the season starts, any team above the first apron can't sign a buyout candidate. So right now, you know,
making more than the average salary.
Yeah. So any player, right? Any player who's making more than the median salary, whatever it is, which is essentially like the non-taxpayer mid-level exception.
I was gonna say, I feel like Vooch is making more.
Right? He is. He's like 20-ish.
Yeah.
Maybe 20 or 25. If you have a client who's making that much, those agents are actually pushing for those guys to get bought out now, while you have that many more teams that could make a bid on you. and then also look, like, one of the best ways, one of the paths, to not being seen as a minimum player, from that point forward, is to get on a good team and do some winning with that good team. And most of those good teams sit above the aprons. And so you want those teams to be able to bid on you so that you can get on potentially a playoff team, maybe even a finals team, and you can bolster your market that way. So I believe all of this noise. There's been like, because the Bulls have been trying to trade Vucevic all summer, and I think they're kind of kicking themselves for not trading him last year. But now, you know, because I think the consensus thinking going into the summer and maybe the last couple of summers was that a player would actually gain more value when their contract becomes an expiring contract. But that's not actually the case. A lot of these teams, and it's like I've been saying all summer, a lot of these teams have basically just said, no, we'll just wait because we know you're going to buy them out. Or you're going to waive them. So a lot of these teams are just like not holding trade negotiations for some of those guys because they would just rather wait and see that player bought out or waived, as we saw with DeAndre Ayton earlier this summer too. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and it's like Pete always says, expiring contracts have value at the deadline, not during the offseason when it's closer to the end of the contract and you can just take that in, and you know that you know where your team stands probably in the hierarchy, or you have a better idea of it. And you also know that, okay, this player making long-term money is not in our plans. Let's swap him for more cap space this summer, essentially. So I think like those expiring trades are not going to happen right now. It would be like, if they were going to get bites on him for that reason, then it would be at the deadline.
Right. Well,
but they may not want to do the, like, you know, we're going to have a disgruntled guy here all year and he's not happy. And like, we know that he's not part of our future plans. And, you know, who knows, maybe we want to do the agent a favor. I don't know who else, like, his other clients are beyond Luca, if he has any Bulls guys that they would care about. But they're, you know,
Bill Duffy, like, he's a pretty big agent.
Yeah. So sometimes that stuff comes into play and you want to do right by the power agent that you think could maybe help you out down the line. But, you know, and especially if you don't think that the guy's in your long-term plans, but, you know, I also, like, my bigger thing with this is not the feasibility of it. It's more like, I don't know if we're doing your hypothetical and we're saying the Lakers trade Dalton into cap space and, for, you know, an attached seconds to get the Nets to take on his salary, which is like sad sentence to say that we're there with Dalton, that you got to get somebody to take, they need an asset to take on his rookie contract, given where he was last year before the Mark Williams trade. But, you know, if you're going to do that hypothetical, I don't know that Vooch makes you better enough to be worth attaching assets to Dalton rather than just trying to go into the season and seeing if
you I'm not attaching assets to Dalton. I'm getting a second rounder.
Oh, I thought that you were saying attach seconds to Dalton to get the Nets to take on. Okay.
No, I don't. Dalton's value is low, but it's not there.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
I don't think he's a negative asset. I think he's,
I wouldn't do that. You know, like, it's just, there's a better chance that he plays well and you're at least able to flip him for neutral value.
Yeah, no, I think there's a world, like, so heading into the summer, I know Lakers fans were really kind of hoping that he would still hold first round value. He did not. No. And I would say after really bad summer leagues, it's dipped even further. But I do think he would probably fetch a second rounder if he was just traded into cap space. And I would do that. You know, it would suck to trade him at a low point, but if it means that you have a shot at bringing in the best backup center that you could probably possibly get in the free agent market. And look, if you do this,
I can't believe you're forcing me to argue for Jackson Hayes here, but does Vooch upgrade your rotation that much over him for in the minutes that he'll play and given his defensive shortcomings?
Yeah.
Cause he's a worse fit with Luka. He's like a fake 3-point shooter. He can't defend. He is a decent rebounder, but, you know, I just don't know that he gives you that much of an improved dynamic as like the Ayton backup to be worth just like giving up on Dalton and not seeing if he can turn himself into at least something of an asset. Maybe not first round value, but it's something where the team is at least happy to be using his salary as the ballast instead of Gabe or whatever, you know?
Yeah. So he is coming off of a season, Harrison, where he scored 18 and a half points a game. He shot 59%.
Huh? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. maybe on 2K.
It's like, wow, he was better than I realized.
Yeah. So you're fairly, I don't know. I don't know that he's a fake 3-point shooter. He shot 40% on 4.5 attempts a game last
season. Teams don't respect him, though, so it doesn't add to your spacing. So it doesn't really help Luka that much. I mean, I guess if the threes go in, it's, you know, it does help, but
yeah,
it's not as big of an add as you would think because teams still aren't going to, like, panic about him being out there.
Well, and his minutes would be down, so his attempts would go down, to your point, you know. Yeah. So I think that's fair, but he still shot
59%. I'm not saying I wouldn't sign him for the minimum. I'm just saying I don't know that I would just, like, dump Dalton to sign him for the minimum.